You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, we live in the global age of access. A generation ago, research meant library cards, reference sections, and late night photocopies. I'm saying a generation ago, but honestly, I remember this so well. Today, though, students are one browser tab, one chatbot, one shared Google Doc away from everything they need. But with that access comes a subtle, powerful danger: the erosion of economic honesty. Because let's face it, the internet doesn't just democratize knowledge, it also blurs the line between learning and copying, researching and plagiarizing, asking for help and handing over your work. So how do we raise a generation that doesn't just pass, but learns? How do we keep education honest in a digital age that rewards shortcuts? To help us unpack this critical conversation is Damon Mubinde, a voice you want to hear if you care about the future of learning. He's a senior lecturer at Heidelberg College of Higher Education, a stalwart in digital pedagogy, and a speaker at top-tier platforms like eLearning Africa, where educators, tech experts and innovators gather to reimagine education on our continent. So whether you're a student, a teacher, or a parent who's really concerned about the economic integrity, not economic, rather academic integrity of their children, this conversation matters to you. Hello, Mr. Damon.
Hi, good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Now, earlier when I shared that we'd be having this conversation, I mentioned to the listeners that back in my time, about, 10 years ago, when I was still a student, all I was concerned about was making sure that my Turnitin percentage was very, very low. But things have changed. Things have escalated so much. And I think it's good for us to really define the core, right? How do you define academic integrity in this digital world right now?
It's quite difficult at the moment because of what is going on. AI has changed a lot of things.
Mm.
Academic integrity and academic honesty are becoming very, very fundamental.
Yeah.
And we need to hold these values in every sector of education, not just higher education.
Mm.
But I can tell you, starting from even the lower grades.
Mm.
So it encompasses the ethical principles and standards that govern academic conduct. So academic integrity involves, one, being able to uphold the values of honesty,
mm-hmm.
trust, fairness,
mm-hmm.
respect,
yeah,
responsibility in all that you do academically, meaning in all academic endeavors.
Yeah.
So it involves you to be honest, trustworthy, to uphold fairness when you are doing your research or any studies that you are holding. You need to be responsible, making sure that you follow the rules that govern such endeavors.
Yeah.
So academic honesty in this sense will refer to the truthful and transparent representation of one's own work.
Mm.
Not just the work, but ideas and all achievements. That's what I can say. Lastly, I would just on this part, I would say academic integrity has increased due to the ease of access. There is just so much information and access to information is just at our fingertips. Like you were saying, 10 years ago when you were in school, I was in school some 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Where we were, even having a book, a textbook, was a mission.
Mm.
We needed, We used to go from place to place just to get an odd book, odd version. Today, yeah. It's not like that.
No.
So there is ease of access to information. And then there are also anonymity of online interactions. The pressure to succeed also, because things are so fast. So everyone wants to succeed, because success or academic success comes with rewards like a good job, you know. Mm. It comes with rewards like, you know, sponsorship. So everyone is looking to that. Hence, there is an increase in academic dishonesty.
You know, as you were speaking, two thoughts came to mind, and the one has just escaped me. But the first one is, it's interesting to talk about integrity, especially academic integrity, in a world that attracts people from different backgrounds, different points of views, different religious beliefs. Because when I think about integrity, naturally, what I would hold as a measure, as a standard, is what God requires of me, right? Stewardship, honesty. So when we talk academic integrity, is it not a difficult thing to then, I don't know, synchronize or make uniform what integrity is for different schools and for different disciplines? I guess, who determines what the standard of integrity is?
Integrity is a universal statement.
Mm.
Integrity covers every sphere. Whether you are from a different religious background,
mm.
whether you are from a different discipline, stealing is stealing. Whether you are from Germany or you are from Nigeria or you are in South Africa,
yeah.
Stealing is stealing. Honesty is honesty. So that's the issue. So mm. it covers everyone across every sector. To be truthful and to present what you work for
mm.
is what we are talking about.
Mm.
So, like you referred to the Bible tells us that you will sweat to get something.
Yeah.
So, but the attitude of many people is to get things in an easy way.
100%.
But you know, God does not, he did not make us like that. If you have to discover something, for example, if you want to get a precious stone or gold,
mm-hmm.
you have to dig, because mm-hmm. all precious things are hidden so much that it requires your effort, your concentration, mm-hmm. your gathering of resources. You know, you need to be to concentrate. Then mm-hmm. you get deeper to get what you want.
Can I challenge that a bit?
Yes.
What about the concept that, or the notion that no idea is unique? As in, everything that I think about today, I've possibly borrowed or piggybacked from somebody and maybe just expanded it myself or looked at it from a different angle. So when we talk about originality and ingenuity, as you said earlier, what about the idea that no idea is unique? All of them are just a different version of each other, or regurgitation of something else that was developed or created years ago?
It may be true, it may not be true.
Okay.
There are some things that are new.
Yeah.
And we make improvements.
Mm.
For example, today we've got the concept of a car.
Mm-hmm.
But we got from, you know, cars that were manual.
Yes.
Now we are improving, we are innovating. We've
yeah.
come to using cars that are automatic.
Yeah.
From there, we move to using hybrid cars mm. that use both fossil fuel mm. as well as energy or electric,
mm.
you know. So we are improving, but it is the same car. So
yeah.
the person who came up with an automatic concept
mm.
just built on what that
yes.
first person did.
Yeah.
So it can be the same idea. So what we are talking about, originality does not mean that you come up with something that does not exist,
mm.
but you improve
mm-hmm.
while recognizing the originator
mm.
and you build on top of what is there. You recognize that this idea did not originate from me, but I am seeing some gaps.
Yeah.
When I'm driving this car, for me to change from one gear to another, it is taking long, and it is consuming a lot of time on my part.
Yeah.
What will I do in order to improve it? So you improve on that. So improvement is equally very, very important.
Yeah.
Even if ideas may be the same, but if I improve on them, I have innovated. I've made life easier.
You know, you mentioned that you were in school 20 years ago. I said 10 years ago. And I'm wondering at what moment, or maybe not even particularly the moment, but what was the environment like, or the process like, when you realized that the policies that were sufficient for the time before AI and before things like ChatGPT are no longer sufficient, and when you realize culture had to change, what was that process like of really adapting to the times and making sure that there is one room for the nimbleness that is required with how things have improved, but also still maintaining the academic integrity that we're talking about tonight?
It has been a very difficult process.
I can imagine, in
many institutions, you know, academic dishonesty was easy to deal with back then.
Yeah.
You could check what a person is doing. Mm. You can know that they cheated.
Mm.
And even to cheat, it was very difficult. You know, it wasn't easy.
Mm.
But today it's no longer like that. Meaning policies alone are not sufficient to prevent academic dishonesty.
Okay.
So now there has to be a cultural shift,
mm.
which will foster a sense of ownership in students or among students, and to inculcate in them accountability.
Mm.
So you need to you know, there are a lot of things that may be free, but you need to put an effort to maintain them.
I will
give an example.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, that you will sweat to earn a living.
Yeah.
For example, you've got a timber or plants
mm-hmm.
which are there, but God did not make a table. God did not make a dog. God did not make anything that you make out of wood.
Yeah.
Meaning you have to innovate. The trees are freely there. Water is freely there. But you need to put an effort to purify that water.
Mm.
So, as human beings, we need to think on how we can improve our lives.
Yeah.
So, a cultural shift is necessary. Now, with the abundance of knowledge and information,
mm-hmm.
many people think you can just go to ChatGPT or any other AI tool
mm-hmm.
and get what you want and then present it.
Yeah.
That is being dishonest. You are not improving. You are not you are not building up.
Mm.
You need to innovate. Now, there was a time when in our schools, the time that I was in the primary school, we had no calculators.
Mm.
So we mastered our mathematical timetables from 1 up to 100.
Ooh.
Where you need to master, and before you enter into a classroom, the teacher will stand in front of you with a whip, with a stick, beating. If you just say 7 times 9, you don't give an answer, you are beaten.
Yeah.
So we worked very hard, and our minds were very sharp.
Mm.
When calculators were introduced in schools, some people thought calculators will make the students not to think.
Yeah.
But it was just a tool. And used properly, AI can improve people's academic work.
Mm.
So educators or lecturers need to model and promote academic integrity in their teaching and practice.
Mm.
Now, how do we do this?
Yes.
In our college, by the way, I'm no longer a lecturer.
Oh, no. What do you do now?
I am now at the conference, at the Northern Conference.
Ah.
I'm just helping in the IT same field. in the IT, but I'm still studying and I'm still in academics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So, educators need to model and promote academic integrity. So when I was at college there teaching, there is something that we called integration of faith and learning.
Mm.
What is important, we may have people who are educated, but if they are not morally strong, we are just educating people who will not innovate.
Mm.
So integration of faith and learning simply means you base every subject, every lesson on faith. Now, faith promotes morality.
Yeah.
So what we used to do, every lesson, before I stand in front of the students, I must have some motivation either from the Bible or from any other source that will bring in a moral lesson so that every lesson will be attached to some morality, whereby students will have a reminder every time that they are just not having head learning, but they must live what they learn and they must innovate and become reliable when they finish or when they get into society. So yeah. It's very, very important to teach people the morals, because it goes with integrity.
100%. Now, the truth is, having endless information at our fingertips is very, very powerful, but it can also be risky. So honestly, what is your honest take on how this has either helped or harmed us? And I know you said it's a tool, but when you look at, when you compare the aptitude maybe and the reasoning capacity of students 10 years ago, maybe even five, because these tools weren't necessarily available, especially in our continent, 5 years ago. When you look at the aptitude and intellectual capacity and acumen 5 years ago versus now, are you seeing a deterioration? Are things sounding better, but you know that the person who wrote it or who's presenting it has absolutely no clue what is going on and would be challenged differently if they were actually writing things down and they didn't have the tool at their disposal? What does it look like now?
For example, every lecturer knows his or her student.
even if there's hundreds in the class?
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
We know the caliber. When I'm teaching the first years, I give them a question. Just by looking at their answers, I would know that someone cheated and someone wrote honestly.
Mm.
So we know, even when we are marking, we know the human errors that must be in a paper.
Yeah.
But if a paper is extraordinarily pure, because that's what a machine does.
Yeah.
It will give you pure answers. The English, the phrases will be out of this world.
Yes.
I will be able to know that, no, this is not done by a human being or it is not done by a first year student. Even a fifth year student, I will be able to know.
Mm.
So the abundance of information at our fingertips is like a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It provides access, which is unparalleled. You know, it also increases the risk. And then the risks that are there, you find that there is a lot of information overload.
Mm.
Too much information whereby we even fail to act on it.
This is true.
We become overwhelmed.
Yeah.
We are overfed. That's number one.
Mm.
Now, when you have a lot of things in abundance and you don't have ways to utilize them, then it's a waste of resources.
Mm.
Number two, it brings about plagiarism.
Yeah.
Like we said, taking somebody's information and claiming it to be yours.
Mm.
And then the third one, the third most important one, because people think when they use an AI tool, everything that they get is true.
Yeah.
It's not like that. So there's a lot of misinformation.
Yeah.
So when you get something, you ask someone or something, you know, as a lecturer, I could test these tools.
Mm.
When I'm teaching mathematics, I give questions and then I ask either ChatGPT or other tools to give me answers. I used to find that some answers were not true.
Mm.
And then when you question it, it just says, oh, sorry.
You're right. Thank you for picking up.
Yes, they say, oh, sorry. I think this is the answer.
Yes.
So it just collects a lot of information from different sources, databases on the internet in a split of a second.
Mm.
And whichever information it comes across, it gives you.
Mm.
So there is a lot of misinformation.
Yeah.
Now, when you do your own research, you will choose the papers that you are going to get the information from, peer-reviewed papers.
Mm.
You know, you will know which sources to get.
Mm.
And even when you are reading, you can tell to say, no, this paper, though it is giving me this, but I think this is not true.
Yeah, or it's outdated.
So there's a lot of misinformation.
Yeah, or it's outdated, or it doesn't apply to our context.
It's very true.
Mm.
So misinformation, you can see, is believing and holding ideas that are not substantial, ideas that are not backed up by academic or scientific research.
Mm-hmm.
So AI is a tool just like any other tool.
Yeah.
It is bound to be misused.
Mm.
If it falls into wrong hands, it can be misused.
Mm.
So yes.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I love that I have you here because I know there are students and learners that are listening to the show. And I'd love for you to give them some sort of a hack or tips on how to actually use the tool well for their academic research and their academic papers. What is the best way to work together with the tool to extract the best information and work with the tool to come up with the best presentation?
Okay, so AI can be used in a right way, and it can also be used in a wrong way.
For sure.
For example, if the lecturer gives you some info or some work to do, you can get the definitions using AI.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a wrong thing to get the understanding. For example, you can throw that question into the AI tool so that it simplifies it for you. It will use the synonyms that are easier to understand. Then you break down that question and you get it properly.
Yeah.
Then AI can also help you to look for papers that have been written. Okay, the topics. You can use AI to look for papers. Looking for a paper is not plagiarizing.
Yeah.
It is just a tool that is pulling the information that you want, the papers that have been written. But AI will not read for you.
Mm.
There are some tools that purport to be able to summarize what a paper says.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried certain tools, and you find that they don't give what you want. Because the paper may have a title, a certain title, but you get different information from it.
Yeah.
So AI has got limits. It has limitations. So you can use it for definitions. That's number one.
Mm.
You can use it for giving you synonyms.
Mm.
That is number two. You can also use AI to understand even the flow of your research.
Mm.
For example, what should I start with? Mm. Where should I end? How can I put my references in order? How can I reference, for example, referencing in Harvard, referencing in APA, you can go to AI, then it can tell you. You don't need to go to the library to find books. AI can just give you that.
Yes.
So those are acceptable uses for AI, and it is very, very useful, and it can be of help, really. The other way you can use AI is, for example, if you want to, I've talked about the topic, even the topic.
Yeah.
If you want to get a topic, you are confused, you don't know the wording in making a topic.
Mm.
You give it a topic, and then it can refine it.
This is true.
In that way, you are not cheating.
Mm.
But where you use AI, even in that way, you need to disclose in your paper.
Oh, and how is it referenced?
Yes.
That's interesting. How do they reference it? I've never seen a paper referencing AI.
No. What you need to declare, to say, I used AI to align my references. I used AI ABCD, whether it is ChatGPT, to refine my paper's headline or topic or title. When you do like that, then you are being honest because you used a tool. For example, I gave my students some topic and I realized the whole class had cheated, actually. So what happened was that what happens to students, they may have a lot of assignments to submit.
Yes.
And then they look at certain subjects or courses to say, okay, I can tackle this, let me wait. And only to realize that they're remaining with 2 days or 1 day.
Yeah.
So when you tackle your assignments within a short period of time, you will fail to finish.
This is true.
So the only thing that you do is to go to AI because you tell yourself that it's better I do something than just leaving it. So they went and they pulled out the information. I was able to tell because I knew if they were in third year or first year, I knew that they this kind of language cannot come from them.
Yes.
So I called them. We went through the answers and then I showed them. Then I gave them back to say, I am going to give you the second chance. Can you go and do ABCD? But academic dishonesty is a very, very big issue in colleges and universities. Most of the people have even been expelled.
Oh, no.
Yes. So what I want to say quickly is that everyone wants to be a hero. Everyone wants to be perfect.
Yes, everyone wants to appear smart and to pass.
And we can be. But we must aspire to be great in our own order.
Yeah.
Meaning we need to use our abilities at that time and in a particular space. We should not take after the promise of the serpent in the Bible. I want to tell you something here. When the serpent told Eve that you shall be like God. Now, we all want to be like somebody else, somebody who researched, who was, very powerful. We want to be like them.
Yeah.
Wanting to be what we are not made to be. Admiring others, people's spaces, instead of developing our own. It is the same concept. You shall be like God. Not at all. We shouldn't. We are created in our own way. Our abilities are different. If I pick some ideas from your work, I must reference it. I must not admire other people's work instead of making and improving my own work. So it is very, very important to keep in mind that we can still use AI ethically.
But is it always the case that people are trying to be like someone else, or they've just realized that maybe the standard or the level of their thinking doesn't quite match up with what is required? I mean, and I know that a lot of the work we do sometimes is subject to the supervisor or the lecturer. And so you can be giving your best. And that perhaps isn't the standard that's going to get you to the next level. So don't you think people are just realizing that, you know what, I'm no match to the standard.
No,
let me just go to AI.
Learning is always difficult.
Yes.
Learning is like stretching.
Yeah.
Learning is growth. And growth is not easy.
Yeah.
When you are growing, you are stretched. And when you are stretched, there is some expansion. And a person does not like that. We don't want to sweat.
No.
We don't want to work hard. We don't want to spend sleepless nights. We want things on a fingertip, but that is against nature.
Mm.
Nature is not like that. You need to work in order to expand. All the people, all the great researchers, all the great innovators and inventors worked very hard.
Mm.
But that's the culture that we are losing in society. So we are encouraging people to work hard, to stretch our brains. You know, our brains, to those who have studied the brains, are very capable of, discovering and doing a lot of things. So there's nothing like, no, I end here.
Mm.
I can give you an example. I was writing my master's. I was doing my master's, which I completed. And that thing took long.
Mm.
It took long. I took it to the supervisor. She retained it many times. If I tell you, many times, so much that in the end, I told myself, no.
Yeah.
I think this is not it.
Yeah.
But little did I know that she was actually drilling me.
Mm.
She was making me work hard.
Mm.
And when that paper was taken for examination, how? I was surprised.
Mm.
Very, very minor things that the examiner has brought back to me to correct.
Yeah.
Even we were going through it with my supervisor, we were all jubilating, and she was telling me, you see, I told you.
Yes, that crucible.
So hard work is very, very good.
Mm.
If you work hard, you will be rewarded. So there is nothing like, no, I end here.
Mm.
Stretch yourself even further. It may take 1 year, 2 years, but the more you do it, you will be refined and the best will come out of you.
Mm.
For you to get something from God or the God from the all, you need to burn it. And when you burn it, it must go through the intense heat get the best.
For sure.
So that's the same thing. Even when you want to get grape juice, whatever you want to get.
There's a pressing.
If you want to get oil from maize, you have to squeeze it to, fry it and then squeeze and then extract.
Mm.
So to get the gem or the best from anything, it requires a lot of effort.
Yeah. Do you find that there's less leniency now when lecturers and professors are examining or assessing these papers because there are better ways to get to the answers than before when we had to sweat for the answers?
I wouldn't say yes or no because that depends. There are a lot of factors that go with that. Mm. Number one, it can be the area of work that you are dealing with, what you are studying.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also depends on the attitude of both the student as well as the lecturer or the teacher.
Yeah.
So those factors are very, very important.
Mm.
You find that I have witnessed some students in this field who are saying, as our lecturer, gave us this and we did it like this and our work went.
Mm.
The other one who is being supervised by this other lecturer, we did the same, but our work came with a lot of red crosses and all that.
Mm.
So it depends on the field. That's number one. Number two, your attitude. If you have an attitude to learn, because as a student, you are being mentored, you are being shown the way, you are being driven, you need something and you don't know the way, you are like blindfolded and someone is leading you, showing you the way.
Mm.
So your attitude will be very, very important. Then that will make the lecturer to guide you well, or in another way. So it is still the same. In fact, lecturers who are hard, who are tough, bring out strong students or rather graduates.
I can believe that.
So that's what I can say.
I can believe that. Now, I hear most students sign honesty statements, but they do so without understanding what they're actually signing. So what's a better way, really, to inculcate, like you said, or to cultivate real ownership and accountability when it comes to academic integrity and academic honesty? How do we embed it in the culture?
First of all, students must realize that, you know, policies differ from institutions.
Mm.
First of all, when you enroll in an institution, make sure that you understand the policy. Then when you understand that policy, cultivate ownership and accountability.
Mm.
So you need to move beyond compliance. You need to foster a sense of community and shared values.
Yeah.
When you go to university or college, you are no longer acting as a lone person because now we are a community. So attach to your with your friends, make some teams, some groups where you discuss things. And I just want to encourage students to take responsibility for their own learning and academic integrity, because no one will force you to practice integrity or to be honest.
Yeah.
So when integrity becomes a shared value, you are likely to uphold academic integrity, and then you are likely to be modeled, because you are flexible. You can be modeled, and you will be able to promote good practices. Now, it's up to the institutions to promote a culture of academic integrity, and this can be done by a lot of workshops, where workshops are given, starting from first year until the last person in that school, the highest class. So all the time, institutions must make sure that they foster integrity. We should not put the tools down. We have to speak about it, because a student is a student. They can be in their fifth year or whichever year. They are bound to cheating. So we just need to be strict.
Even if
a lecturer himself or herself, when they become a student, the same thing happens. That's why you hear a lot of people, they can be high up there, and you find that they cheated at one time, and then they are discovered, you know. It is just like that. We are human beings.
And I'm so glad you're bringing that up, because I'm thinking right now, when we talk about academic honesty, we're really focusing on the student. But what if it's the lecturer who's also lazy in how they formulate their presentations or even their assignments? Because I've sat in lectures and I'm just like, I know that hyphen is actually from ChatGPT. I know this language and this flow of sentences. So what does it look like then for a student who is really intent on maintaining academic honesty when they see it not being represented in the one who's supposed to be a custodian of it and a champion of it?
Okay, so it's very, very true. Most academicians or lecturers may be using that because maybe pressure of work, or, you know, they just find themselves overwhelmed. But I want to assure you, it's not all the time.
Okay.
No, it's not, because it will fall on that lecture, and then the lecturer's work is supervised. That's number one.
Okay.
There are supervisors, and we take our work to moderators. Okay. The people who moderate. There is internal moderation, and then there is also external moderation.
Yeah.
And you know, the institutions are very strict on lecturers, so much that you cannot just do your own thing, because when you take, and also there are committees, there are faculty meetings where you discuss, you know, you discuss your marks, you discuss your papers. So it is very, very intense, and you make sure that you are awake. Otherwise, you are going to be embarrassed. Someone will pick it up, and you won't like it.
Yeah.
So on the part of lecturers, I know it is it is not likely. It may be one line or two lines, or when he is just giving you something that an exercise that he wants you to take. But when it comes to real exams, no, because it goes through a lot of intense checking. There are teams that go through that. Then you take it for moderation. Mm. When you take it for moderation, it comes back. You take it to your friend, and we've got peer, you know, assessment.
Peer reviews,
you take
yes.
it to your friend, to your fellow lecturer. They yes. go through your work. Then it comes back to you, and then they've got a lot of crosses. You know, it is intense.
And it sounds like it's humbling.
Up there, you are looking at it.
Yeah.
It has to show that it was moderated by ABCD. And if you find that there is an error there, then it will be the dean, then the head of the department, and whoever who will be in hot soup. And you don't want that.
Yeah.
So lecturers are really, really, really careful.
Sounds like such a humbling exercise. You think you've got it going on, and they're like, actually, no.
No, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. For a paper to come out and then be given to the students to write, it goes through a lot of stages. So it is not something that, you know. In fact, when it comes to external moderators, they are very, very strict because they hold credentials and they don't want their credentials to be compromised. So
yes,
they
yes,
make
yes.
sure that they really, 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 you know, check the paper thoroughly. So we have to know that lecturers are actually doing the right thing. But if there is something that came from AI, we just all need to acknowledge that we used AI in this. And we have to understand the limitations and the potential biases of AI tools, you know. And then we need, you know, you can using of generated content to generate content using AI is a no-no issue. You just need to ensure that the work is original.
Yeah.
You can check spellings using AI. You can check the flow of work and whatever using AI, but your work must be yours.
That's fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
Yes. So AI can enhance creative or original thinking by just giving you some ideas of new things that you can tackle, facilitating research and analysis, enabling you to focus on higher level thinking and problem solving. AI can do that, but don't allow it to generate work for you.
It sounds
that
like
those who have
the best utility of the tool are those who are curious, because I cannot think of another way it can work if you're not asking questions, and the right questions at that, and you're not curious about what is generated in a way that it enhances the thinking or elevates the whole idea that's been generated.
You know, even you using AI is a skill. Not everyone can use AI.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
If you know how to use AI properly, it can be a very, very useful tool. And one thing that I've realized is that when you depend on AI for content generation, then you become somehow dumb. Because you won't be able to even paraphrase a simple sentence. You depend on AI. And that will just frustrate you.
Yes.
So if a student is honest enough, you find that they will just dump the AI, you know, to let it generate content for them, because they won't be thinking. So you need just to discard it, think by yourself, and then just use it where you need to get ideas on where to go or where to start from.
Yeah.
So cultivating real ownership and accountability is very, very important. Very, very important. So this is what we need to inculcate in people. And AI is not just aligned to academic work.
Yeah.
Even in our places of work, we use AI, but you cannot just use AI and get a job. No, you need to go to school. You need to go to school. When you go to school, you need to know the area of work. When you use the area of work, then you just use AI as a tool. Now, AI, you know, you've been to the doctors before.
Yes.
And you tell them to say you are feeling unwell.
Yeah.
And this thing. Then this doctor goes to the bookshelf. Have you seen that?
No.
He goes to the bookshelf to get a book.
Yeah.
And he opens the book to check something and maybe to check the medication or whatever.
Mm.
They are consulting information.
Yeah.
Now, this means that that doctor is educated. He went or she went to school. Mm. She spent all those 6, 7 years in school.
Mm.
But he can still use a book for reference.
Mm.
AI can be used for reference.
Mm.
But this does not mean that now you don't need to have doctors to go to learn. You can just pick anyone. And then you give them the book to say, okay, read the book and prescribe.
They need to know how to apply it.
You have to know the field.
Yeah.
You have to be an expert.
Yeah.
You need to have been tested.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have a degree or a whatever paper you have. Mm. But at the same time, you need, if you are educated in your field, even the interpretation of the references will be different.
Yep. And you'll be able to see which ones aren't correct.
We'll give a different sermon from a lay person
who's
just using Matthew chapter 25. You know, that pastor will go in detail to tell you the background.
Yes.
You know, this thing happened when it was in summer. You know, when, you know, this culture was like this.
Yes.
And you feel the sermon. You feel like you are there.
Mm-hmm.
But a lay person who has never gone to school to learn how to interpret, how to put context, you know, and all that, won't be able to give you such kind of a sermon. So education is very important despite the coming of AI tools. The tools are there, yes, but we need to still get educated and concentrate and produce the results that we need. When we are tested, we need to pass. If we fail, we repeat. We need to get that so that we can be good citizens. We can drive the economies of this world. We can do the right thing. That's what I can say.
Oh, man. Tonight's conversation really highlighted to me that learning isn't just about passing exams. Because that's what people are after, right? If I can just quickly put this thing on ChatGPT, maybe I can pass this assignment or this exam. But what it's really about is building character. And maybe that is even the true test of education, right? That it builds character and discipline and discernment and stretches the brain. I think there was a quote that I read years ago that says the mind once stretched can never return to its original dimensions. And I think if we just focus on using these tools without integrity, then we don't allow our minds to stretch to those dimensions that will keep our minds stretched in that way. And I think in a world that is overflowing with information, we owe it to ourselves to at least let that information settle in our brains. I think it's very good to acknowledge that we're not raising robots, we're raising thinkers. We're not robots ourselves. We are thinkers, or at least have to be thinkers. And in a time where cutting corners has never been easier, choosing to do the hard work, like you emphatically said all throughout this conversation, it has never been more revolutionary. So thank you so much for reminding us that education, as in life, and mining, since you made that analogy so much as well, it's not just what we know that counts, right? It's actually how we come to know it. And that's where applying ourselves and really interrogating and being curious about these matters are concerned. So thank you for indulging us. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your passion with us tonight. This was really an insightful conversation.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
We appreciate your work. Cheers. Thank you for joining us, folks. I am Nompumelelo Lombonane, and I hope that you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.